Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Mental Health Check-In with Leek. Today I have a special guest, Mr. Brandon Bird. How are you doing, my brother?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for saying yes to come talk about mental health. I know you're real passionate about mental health, so this is going to be a dope conversation to have. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
So my first question for you, right? I ask all my guests this question when they come on the podcast. I'm going to ask you, how is your mental health?
I'll tell you, it's an everyday thing. I think each day is different, but I would say I approach each day very similar. Just trying to, you know, be grateful for what's in front of me. Try not to worry too much on tomorrow. Try not to, you know, reflect too much on yesterday. And if I do that every day, most of the time, my mental health is, you know, pretty good. So I would say that's where it's at today.
Thank you for answering that. I like to ask that question because I feel like we need to ask people that question more, because like somebody can be struggling, right, mentally. And I could be like, hey, Brandon, how you doing? You'd be like, I'm okay. You know, a lot of us guys, we're quick to say, I'm okay. But if you ask somebody, how's your mental health, that opens the door and, you know, a deeper conversation to say, you know, I'm okay, but mentally I'm struggling. So thank you for answering that question. It's one of my favorite questions to ask.
Yeah, of course.
My next question for you is, growing up, was it okay not to be okay for you?
It wasn't okay and it wasn't not okay.
Okay.
Like the opportunity to like talk about being okay and like seeing people not be okay or okay, like I didn't really have. And so I'm sure like there was like an opportunity to not be okay. But I think, you know, like it just, and it may have been like where I was raised, or I grew up in the South, Louisiana. You know, it's very traditional, I guess to say. And so, you know, a lot of people just kind of like put their head down and worked through whatever it was that was going on. And I never really saw people like struggling. So who knows, maybe. But it wasn't like an open dialogue like it is like today, or like where I'm at today. Definitely wasn't like that.
Yeah. Thank you for answering. There's no right or wrong answer to that question. I loved it. It's like my second best follow-up question to ask, because I like to see how people grow up different. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, you know, different walks of life. And it's always dope to hear an answer to that question, because, you know, not everybody grows up the same. You know, it was easy for somebody. Sometimes some people hit it hard, but thank you for answering it.
Yeah.
My next question for you, right? There is a stigma, right? And I feel like we're getting better with stigma, but not too much better. But there's a stigma surrounding mental health, right? Where it says you can't be weak, can't cry, can't be depressed. You know, you have to man up. What do you say to that stigma, not just in men, but in Black men?
I definitely agree that there needs to be a different word for that. But also, like, you know, I think it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. Like, because I, you know, just kind of like looking back on my life, like, I think the way that I grew up, I'm just not, like, not like an overly emotional person. And, like, I'm very tough and, like, I can, like, take a lot. And so, like, most of the time, like, I'll just kind of, like, push through it. But that's just because, like, that's who I've developed into, and that's, like, who I am now. And I think there are, like, other people who are like that. But then there are people who are like way more emotional, and if that's the way that they need to like express themselves, then like go ahead. And so I would say like I think the narrative needs to change just in general, and more of like, you know, there's no specific way of like handling difficult things. And that goes for suck it up. That goes for, you know, do this. That goes for do whatever. I think you know, we can figure it out what works best for us. I think one thing that works best for me is just like staying active, whether that's like going for a walk or doing a workout. Like I love yoga. And that is like, that's probably been like the biggest game changer for me mentally. It allows me to breathe and move. And like, I never really cry, but like breathing and moving, like it, I can literally feel like the release of like emotions and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it really goes for each person specifically.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. I like I said earlier, I feel like we're getting better with stigma, but you know, the suicide rate in men is still high. You know, I would love for, you know, people to be kind to people, you know, try to understand people. And we know that not everybody understands mental health, you know, but make sure you are really checking in on people and making sure somebody's checking on you, because you know, people are suffering where they feel like they can't talk to somebody because they feel like their friends are going to clown them. You know, they don't feel understood, you know. So yeah, I think stigma can be, it's better, like I said, but you know, got so much work to do because their suicide rate in men is still high. And since I've talked about the topic of suicide, I just want to say anybody's listening that's struggling with any deep, dark depression or suicidal thoughts or suicide ideation, there is a suicide prevention number out there. The number is 988. Easy number to dial. 988 is the number. I want to ask you a question, right? But I'll answer first because I like to make my guests feel comfortable. If they want to answer or not, I want to ask you, have you ever dealt with any thoughts of suicide or any thoughts of not being here? But I'll answer first. So all my viewers know my story. I was sexually abused as a child by two of my male cousins, you know. Didn't really deal with it till I got to the age of 26, 27. I'm 33 now. So that trauma followed me, and I thought it was locked away, buried deep inside in the dirt, but nah, not at all. It hit me when I started going back, when I think when I started going to church, and I had to be around a lot of men, and I felt uncomfortable, and I would like have episodes where I like, you know, spaz out. And just a long time, didn't even know it was because I had borderline personality disorder and PTSD. So I didn't know that was, you know, I didn't know I had that until I got diagnosed. And then, you know, 2019, you know, losing my mom and liver cancer, then 9 months later, losing my sister. Like, it seemed like everything was just like not going well. So there have been times, plenty of times, multiple times, where I tried to attempt suicide or I had thoughts of not being here, you know, very recently. You know, I do this podcast. Tell everybody I do this podcast, and I love to talk about mental health. And sometimes I still struggle with that because I'm still trying to figure out, you know, the ins and out of just like how to get healing or just how to, you know, fix myself, you know, because I know that I can't be there for others when I'm like hurting. You know, I got to make sure I'm good so I can be good for others. But like I said, if anybody's struggling, you know, please reach out. 988 is the number. There are free resources out there, guys. A lot of people don't know that. If you use Google, Google is your best friend. I used to lead support groups for NAMI, Bucks County. NAMI is all across the world, National Mental Health Organization. They have free online support groups. I know everybody loves free. I do. And the support groups are not intended to replace therapy, but I think it's so dope being a support group where people that understand everything that you're going through. Yes. How about you, Brandon?
As far as like with suicide, like I've never really like it'll put it like this. There have been moments where like things have been like really tough in my life. And you know, I just had the thought of like, you know, if I wasn't here, life would be different. because I'm not here. So like I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through if I wasn't here. But I would say that's as like deep as I've gone along the lines of like suicide. I think just honestly, it's like a blessing. Like my outlook on life is very kind of like probably like the last half full kind of guy. And I don't know, I just like enjoy life so much that I'm like, I did it right where I'm at right now sucks, but there's no way that I can like, end my life right now because like I'm looking forward to something else. And I think like the times in my life looking back where it has been really hard, that's kind of like the thought process I had. I was like where I'm at now sucks, but there's a lot more exciting things that I'm looking forward to. And like that very thinking alone just kind of like helped pull me out of whatever kind of like low or like funk that I was in.
I get it. I'll say anybody that's struggling, any thoughts of suicide, any suicidation, the number is 988. You can call them anytime. They are available 365 days. If you are sad, lonely, bored, need someone to talk to, or just going through so much, trust and believe they are there for you. So please dial 988 if you or you know someone that's struggling with any thoughts of suicide, suicide ideation. My next question for you, right, is what made you get so passionate about mental health? Because me and Brandon talked before, he's like very, very passionate about mental health. So I want to know, like, let the people know what made you so passionate about it.
I'd say the first time I experienced mental health firsthand was when I first moved to Philly. So I moved to Philly August 2018 from Louisiana, and I spent 9 months working at a nonprofit church plant. And I had a roommate at the time. And he struggled a lot. And there came a point in time where like, the nonprofit, the church just kind of got into like a tough season. It's just like tough times. And it got tough for everybody. And like I watched like my roommate like really have like a rough time. And won't go into details about like what happened with him, but like, he had like, a period of not good mental health. And I saw how like us being roommates, how that kind of like affected me, just like by default being in proximity. And yeah, like I mean that was like the first time I like dealt with something like that. And so just watching him like go through what he went through. And then, just kind of like looking back on moments in my life of like, have I gone through something similar? And just kind of like seeing moments where like I was like a little lower than, I usually am. And then just like eventually like finishing out the year here in Philly. So like the whole first year being in Philly was like rough. So I moved here 9 months later. I moved. Again, still in Philly, but like I moved again. And when I came to Philly to do that ended very abruptly. And so it was like, and then also just moving from Louisiana to Philly was not like an easy thing. And that was just a lot of like changes, a lot of like emotional changes that like I was trying to go through. And that kind of like made me start prioritizing, at the time, I didn't know, but it made me start prioritizing like my own mental health. I've always been physically active, and I think that's why like I have managed to just kind of like have such a positive outlook on life that's kind of like kept me from really going down dark paths. But like I eventually got more into like my emotional health and my mental health, and just over the last like few years, like that's only grown so much just because like I see the importance in it. I see how much it's changed my life. And now, like where I'm at now in life, like I'm living the rewards of like making a lot of changes for, you know, myself mentally, physically, all of that. And now I'm kind of like living in the fruit, I guess, or the reward of all of that. And so like, you know, to see where I was, what I was going through, and like where my life was at, and then like getting serious about like my personal health and like my mental health. And now just seeing where my life is at because I've made these changes, like, you know, I think it's something that everybody should be exposed to, of like, this is what mental health is. How, what does it look like for you? What are some things that you can do to start addressing some of that? And, you know, just kind of like looking forward to being on the other side of it. And that, you know, that's what has gotten me so passionate about it. But also just like, so every year participate in Movember, which is it's a foundation raising awareness for men's mental health, suicide prevention, testicular cancer, and you know, it's constantly growing. But just getting involved with that and just seeing so many different men from around the world, you know, just kind of like step up and be like, hey, this is something that I want to like implement in my life. Like it just kind of like keeps fuel on the fire, as far as like, you know, making this just be like an everyday conversation rather than like special conversation or a conversation that only happens in November. And so just like, you know, getting that more on like a bigger scale is what drives me.
That's good, man. That's good. We all have something that makes us, want to talk or get more involved in myself. And thank you for sharing that. My next question for you, I'm going to ask Brandon this because we went to the, he's a man of faith. So I always ask people that I know personally that, go to church or whatever. I always ask this question. What can you say to someone that's possibly struggling with church hurt? Everybody doesn't talk about that, right? Because that's a part of people's mental health. People get hurt by a church or a person or God, and we know whatever it is, they get hurt. So what can you say to someone that's struggling with that?
So I think to answer this question honestly, I have to like give some context. So I did grow up in church. Once again, being from Louisiana, it's a very religious culture. Whether you kind of like believe in God or not, or like big in faith or not, like you go to church on Sundays, like get dressed up, go with your family. Like that's what you do because that's what everybody does. And that's what I did. Eventually, I went to a Christian college, Bible college. I went on a mission trip my senior year, thought that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Eventually, kind of like realized that's not what I wanted to do. And then moved to Philly. Just for like the nonprofit church plant, all of that, and kind of continue to be involved in church. However, as of I'd say like 2 years ago almost, like I decided to walk away from church because, you know, it provides such a safe place, safe space for people. Provides hope for people, and you know, it gives people like just it provides so much for people. But you know, for me, because I've always been a part of it, like I never really like did things for myself. Like I never really discovered who I actually was, and so like eventually got to the point where it was like not benefiting me, and like I was struggling more and more and more. Because I didn't know who I was, and I was just trying to be like everybody else, or you know, I was trying to be more like this pastor, whatever. And so, like, you know, I had to walk away from that. I had to walk away from church in order to like discover who I actually am, and like, you know, get in a better space, but also just heal from like a lot of stuff from childhood and a lot of stuff from like church. Because like, you know, church did play a part in a lot of like very foundational moments in my life. And so I would say, you know, just talking about like me, like how I got over the downsides of church, put it like that. Was just one, you know, people are people. Everybody makes mistakes. But also like, you know, whether you're walking away because you were hurt or you're just walking away like I did, you know, it's a decision. Like for me, it was a decision that I made based off of what I thought I needed to do for my life. And once I put that decision like in my hands, like if this is something that I want to do because I want to improve my life, I see where it has me now and I don't want to be there. You know, that just kind of like took the pressure off, the pressure and the blame off other people. And now like, you know, it just kind of like removed pressure and blame in general. So now it's like I'm doing something that I want to do because I want to improve my life. And anytime you want to do something to improve your life, like it's exciting. Like it's probably hard in the moment, but like you're like, no, I'm walking away from this because like I want something better. And so I would say for somebody who may be experiencing church hurt, you know, look at this opportunity as an opportunity to move towards, you know, something better, whether that's a different church, no church at all, you know, whatever it may be. And try not to hold on to the past. Try not to hold on to what anybody's done. Of course, it's easier said than done. And so like, you know, while also not like holding on to the past, looking forward to something, you know, like discover what spirituality means to you. We all are spiritual people. And that may look different for everybody. Some people, you know, go out to the mountain, to the lake, and like they connect in a spiritual way. So people may go out to the beach or to the woods or wherever. And you do what works for you because, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like the spirit in us that, like, it's kind of like what helps makes us us. And it's kind of like what helps glues us together. And so for me, the last 2 years, that's what it's been. It's been me discovering my own personal spirituality and not apart from like religion and stuff like that. And so like, you know, that having that personal relationship, and like a personal spiritual routine or rhythm or whatever, like that, you know, just pursuing that, it kind of eliminates a lot of things. And so if you start pursuing that, like you'll start to notice your life changing and you kind of don't really focus so much on the past or what these people did or what, you know, this church did, because eventually you kind of realize like, once again, people are people and people make mistakes.
It's so crazy that you said that, because you know I grew up from Philly. I'm from Philly, born and raised, so I had no choice but to go to church when I was a child. My grandma raised me. You know, mom and dad was on drugs. Grandma raised me. Then I moved back with my mom. Certain period of time I was in church, so it was like forced upon me and stuff like that. You know, I really didn't want to go, but I think as I got older, so like when I started going back to church myself as an adult, but also, like earlier, I've realized that I had issues with being around men, just being, you know, uncomfortable around men because of my sexual abuse history, and I just didn't like that feeling and stuff like that. So I tried to change. It worked for a little bit, but you know, like I wasn't going to therapy, so I've been to church, right? I've been through it, like especially like around the time, like when my mom died, and then 9 months later when my sister died, it was like I feel like the church. I could just pray and get over it, but I'm like, I couldn't do it because it was just like, I was grieving my mom. By the time I started grieving my mom, my sister died. So it was just like a lot of stuff like that. And I think it's different now with churches now, but I feel like a lot of, when I started going to church, you know, a couple of years ago, I feel like a lot of churches didn't really care. Not gonna say care, didn't focus much on mental health. It was always God, God, God. But there is nothing wrong with God and therapy. I had pastors from, this Ohio church that I love. I would say there's nothing wrong with God and therapy. And like I was one of them people that was like so angry and hurt, right? I think I'm at a point where like I'm not, it is what it is and stuff like that. It was times where I just didn't want to go to certain stuff because of people who was still going to that place, even though they didn't have nothing to do with it, but I look at them people as these church people. It was times where certain songs I would listen to, I would just cut it off because it was a church song that I know they sung a lot and everything. I just was like so angry and it consumed me, but now I can say that I'm just like, it's okay, it is what it is and everything. And I had to like thank God for, I thank God for life, but I also thank God for NAMI because doing NAMI support groups helped me learn a lot. Like what I wanted to do, inside of a church, like lead a group, I couldn't do because of who I am, my lifestyle and everything. How open I was that NAMI gave me that opportunity to do that, and it just made me look at stuff a little different, you have to leak, it's okay, and they always say, people will fail you. People, the church and people will fail you, and I always take that to heed and everything. I always like to talk about church hurt though, because like a lot of people don't talk about it a lot. They're angry, and maybe some words that you can say or somebody else can say can help somebody go get to the right road of healing. So thank you for that, Brandon.
Yeah, sure.
What are some good coping skills that you could recommend to someone that's struggling with their mental health? And before Brandon answers that question, I always say this in this episodes that his coping skills or my coping skills may not work for you, but there are some coping skills out there that will work for someone. So go ahead, bro.
I'll say first, or probably one at the very top of the list. Would be just to get out and move. Like, whether that's whether you live in the city, go for a walk, or you live wherever, like, go for a walk, whether it's one block around your neighborhood or like walking down to the river, like, here in Philly, like always kind of like walk wherever. Look, luckily, like we have like amazing hiking trails here in the city. So I'll go on a long hike and just kind of like sit down by the creek and just like chill out, like listen to nature. Like, like if that works for you, then like for sure do that. But I also enjoy yoga. And I know people have mixed feelings about yoga, but like, I've discovered that like breathing is very healing for the soul. It's probably like one of the most, probably one of the best things you can do to like literally heal your body. Just like breathing it like really, just kind of like opens up a lot of your chakras, which is, stuff talk about in yoga. But like we store a lot of energy in our body. Like before I started doing yoga, like I had a lot of like stuck energy in my body, stuck energy like in my subconscious. And then doing yoga and just like doing breath work, and like a bit of meditation, like really kind of allowed me to build a relationship with my subconscious. And so like, for those who don't know, like your subconscious is like a part of your brain that you don't have control over. If you've ever been driving and then like you zone out and then next thing you're at home, your subconscious is like stored like how to get to your house because you've done it so much. It's like now a pattern that like so your subconscious just took over and then you got there. Just the way like it works that way. It also works with like, if you have something traumatic happen in your life or your childhood, like the way that you cope with it, like it gets stored in your subconscious. And so you just start repeating that cycle years and years and years. And you get a lot of like stuck and stagnant patterns. And so breathing, it helps you like tap into your subconscious, and it helps you just kind of like tap into the parts of your body, like the spiritual part of your body. And then just like with yoga, like you're moving your body, like you're moving that energy throughout your body. You're constantly breathing, so you're breathing it out. But also like, you're meditating at the same time. And so like you're literally envisioning whatever it is in your body, like moving and then coming out. And first time you do yoga, probably won't feel anything. Second time, probably won't feel anything or notice anything. But like you keep doing it, eventually like you'll start to notice little by little by little by little. And then eventually like you kind of look up and you're like, wow, like this has been so helpful for me. This has been so like life-changing. And so I guess the second one would be yoga. If you don't want to do yoga, just breathe. Look up breathwork techniques. One that I love doing is called double helix breath. It's inhale twice, exhale once. And that like really kind of helps you tap into your subconscious and just kind of like really allow like your body to heal and work through that. And I would say the third is probably like changing your environment. And I think that kind of the first two kind of ties in with that. But just like changing your environment, whether that's moving to a different city, moving to a different apartment, moving to a new neighborhood, or changing jobs or whatever. Or it may be, something that you're doing that you can do differently. Because a lot of the times we kind of like get used to our environments and like, we don't realize the impact that it has on us until we leave. And we're like, oh wow, like this was much needed. So I'd say my top three things, one, move, get outside, move, do something. Second would be to try yoga or like breathing, breath work, and then three, change your environment.
I would have to agree with you with the first one. Get I call it get active, go outside, walk, go to the gym, working out definitely helps with your mental health. Journaling, it could be a written journal or it could be a voice journal. Most of us got phones, get a voice recorder, just put that entry in. And the next one is self-care. I love self-care. Make sure you take care of yourself. If that's like, making up your bed, if you usually don't do it, going to the nail salon to get a pedicure, manicure, sitting at a park is self-care. That's sit at a park, just like Brandon said about the breathing, breathe out technique. That could definitely help you, especially if you're in a peaceful environment and you can just let go of a lot of stuff. That could definitely help you. My next question for you, right? I'm saying the past 5 years, what's the most thing that you learned about your mental health? Everything after a lot of stuff that you've been through the last 5 years, what's the most thing you learned about your mental health?
That it starts with me. It starts with me. It ends with me, and it's my responsibility to protect it.
Let's do
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. My last question for you, right? I'm gonna ask you, what can you say to someone that's struggling with their mental health, right? Why is the most important thing that they put their mental health first? Most of us that struggle with mental health problems, we don't put ourselves first. We put everybody else first besides us. So can you tell the person that's listening why it's so important that we put our mental health first?
Kind of just based off what I just said, like, it of course it starts with you, but like, it's gonna end with you. And yeah, like it's gonna be your job to protect that. Because like As much as there are so many different outlets and so many different groups and stuff like that, like the work can only be done if you put forth the effort to do the work. And like also I would say, like, going back to the question that you asked right before this one, like I for most of my life up until I would say like the last year, I did a lot of things and I lived my life for other people. And this year, I decided to make a very radical change and live my life for myself. And in doing so, I've watched my life change very drastically. And by default, like, I've watched my mental health just kind of like reach levels, reach depths that like I've never seen it reach before. Not every day was sunshine and rainbows, but like the just like the good days, the depths of like the good days were just like so incredible. And of course there are like significantly more good days than like rougher days. But like even the rough days are now, like my rough days now were probably good days a while back ago. And like, that's all because I've decided to live my life for myself. And that is something that like I have come to the conclusion like on my own. And since doing that, like, I'm a lot happier because I'm doing a lot of things that like I want to do. Like, I'm chasing dreams that I've always had. Like, I'm accomplishing goals that like I've always wanted to accomplish. And that has all started with me prioritizing my mental health. And like, me doing all these things, I'm like so much more happier because I'm not worried about like what other people are gonna think or say or whatever. And it's just kind of like a constant cycle of I'm happy because of this reason. And because of this reason, I want to stay happy. So I'm going to protect it and keep doing these things. So yeah, that's the reason why people should, prioritize it. Like, it's your life. You shouldn't be worried about what other people are going to say or think if you, decide to go and do whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to say something though. You don't have to speak on it or like, really talk about it. But I remember one time recently you posted something on Instagram, and I feel like when people post stuff like that, it's like a weight off your shoulder. You can finally heal, when you talk about it out loud and stuff like that. I know we all deal with stuff in our minds where we just deal with our stuff with ourselves or just with our friends. And like, I want to commend you for, just being so open and just talking about a subject that, a lot of people don't talk about. When I saw that, I was just like, damn, like, this is dope, Especially as a black man, this is dope. Like, I kind of like was like, like, it was just like so, was so happy that day, man. I was just like, wow, like, this is dope. You just don't know how many people you could be helping when you share your story. It's just the world we live in. It's like so good where we, especially social media, where you could just share parts of your life and people love on you and still support you and stuff like that, which is so dope.
Yeah, I did it. So I would say I'd already kind of like worked through that part of my life for quite a while at that point. But I just kind of felt like, it was something that was still kind of like there because I hadn't really just kind of like put it out. I'd worked through it like internally and like therapy and all that stuff. But like, for those who don't follow me, which I'm pretty sure is a lot of people, like I posted, about my experience of being sexually abused as a kid, and how that affected me growing up and like how it affected me like now. And so like, I'd already worked through it, And by that point, I guess that was back in like April, maybe. No, I'm not sure. I don't remember what it was, but like by that point, I was like, you know, I'm ready to move on from this. I'd already seen like how my life had picked up in just like momentum. But also like the type of person that I am, just like, you know, when I started, like the very first question you asked me, like I'm a very like tougher kind of guy. Like, you know, my life has been just a lot of challenges, and a lot of like having to overcome obstacles. And that just kind of like created like a very tough persona that I have of just like, you know, being able to like fight through stuff. And so when I posted it, I was like, you know, there's a lot of people who would probably never be able to do this, but I want to do this to give those people hope, but also for them to be able to say like, or for them to have somebody to, you know, look up to and like, you know, this happened to this person, this is where they are now, this is what they're doing, this happened to me, you know, I can never say anything, but like I'm able to watch somebody do that. It's like whenever it happened, like when I was a kid, like if I had somebody that was like, you know, this happened to me, I would have been like, oh, okay, like this is how I can move forward. But like I didn't have that. And also like I was a younger kid. And so like there was just a lot of things I just didn't know because I was too young. And so yeah, like it ended up, you know, luckily like I'm 25, so like I've known of like different men and stuff who've gone through something like that to like walk around with it for like 30, 40, 50 years. And so like to be able to like deal with it and just kind of like, you know, survive it and be over it within 25 years, like I'm really blessed that like I was able to do that. But yeah, like, you know, I was able to move on from it. You know, I see a lot of people get stuck right there. But it also just kind of gave me power back that had been lost for so long. And that power, you know, just kind of it fueled like my, you know, pursuit of making my health, my mental health a priority. But also just like putting me first as a priority and, you know, protecting that, setting up boundaries and stuff like that.
It's so crazy, right? Because like what you said, you know, like knowing people that have been through that. When I first started talking about it, I didn't know nobody at all, but until like a year or two ago, there was this thing called the Survivor Circle. You know, it's like a dope book with different male stories in there that's been sexually abused. And I'll tell you, like, it's people that I reached out that was had their own chapter, and like two of them, like, I'm real cool. I talked to one of my friends, his name Rich, and he's like a therapist. Him and his wife have their own practice, therapists and everything. And I feel like because of that book, I feel like I was, before that book, I felt like I was alone. But because of that book, I can talk to people like that's, you know, that's healed. Like you said, you did the healing part, and these people in the book that I could talk to, they've done their healing part. They still struggle, but if I have questions like, hey, I'm going through this, you know, help, can you help me, or what is this, and they can pinpoint what it is because they've been through it. But besides like talking to a regular friend like, oh, I've been sexually abused, I've been through going through this, they won't get it. Rough, like, you know, when people go through the same experience and stuff like that, it's easier to like, you know, understand more, or you know, empathize with more.
Sure.
I want to end this off by saying, what is next for Brandon Bird? What you got going on next, bro? We know that you was tearing it up at Rumble, so like, what you got going on next, bro?
Yeah, so starting school.
What you taking up? You want, what you taking up? What you going back to school for?
So I'll be doing civil engineering, which is way left field than what I did for my first bachelor's degree. But, you know, just like looking throughout my life, it's what I feel like I've always been meant to do. And so people don't know what civil engineering is. It's I typically hear described a lot of times as building and designing roads, bridges, buildings, stuff like that. Like growing up, like I just would always like make buildings out of things that I had in my room and like, using like old boxes and like duct taping the box together to make a building, painting it and all that other stuff. And then just like, drawing out like different like layouts of like houses from like graph paper and stuff like that. But now like living in the city, like it's like looking up the buildings, like, there's a building not far from where I'm at right here. They've been building for the last probably a year and a half. And they pretty sure like they've topped out like a couple months ago. And so just like what like looking at that every single day and just like watching it, like, it's something that I'm very passionate about. And so like I was like, it was once school was kind of like coming back around in my life, or the idea of it, it kind of took me a while to get to this. But now that I'm at civil engineering, like it makes a lot of sense. And so I have some prereq classes that I have to take, which is what I'm starting next week. So there'll be a lot of calculus and physics and stuff like that. And then eventually from there, I'll be transferring. And so next fall, looking to move out of the city. We'll have to go to Boston. However, if an opportunity were to arise here in Philly for me to stay, I would stay. But also, if an opportunity arose somewhere else, I'd probably go as well. So yeah, that's what's next for the next 4 years, roughly. And then from there, it would be a goal, or I guess a dream would be, be in New York City and working on all the buildings being built, eventually being able to manage like building processes of buildings and stuff like that, continue to grow eventually, leading a company.
I want to wish you the best of luck in school, man. If you go to Boston, best of luck. If you stay in Philly, best of luck. Boston seems cool, though. I ain't gonna lie to you. It seems cool. Like you talk about new environments and everything. So it seems to work out real good, But I want to say thank you for coming on today. Thank you for, you just being honest and everything, talk about myself. We know that you are passionate about it. And I want to thank you again, my brother.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for inviting me on.
No problem, no problem.